the wonder, and the faith that is found in the Christmas story. We're starting in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a very familiar scripture which we typically read around this time of the year. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful. I like that. It's the first name, the first designation about God. What can you say about God? He's wonderful. I like that. It's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about Jesus. He's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I think we need to focus and ask God by the Holy Spirit to give us a renewed sense of the wonder of God in our lives. We're not following Jesus because somebody is forcing us to. We don't worship enthusiastically the way you saw this worship going on in this church. This is a partying church in the Holy Spirit. Amen? This church, you put that every praise song on and we're ready to party. I think that's going to be the official theme song for Catalyst, that every praise. The point is, though, we're not doing this because somebody's forcing us. We're enjoying our salvation. We're excited about Jesus. The word worship means he's worth something. Worth-ship. If he wasn't worthy of our praise, if we weren't so in love with him, if we weren't convinced that his name is above every other name and there is no one else like him, we wouldn't be so enthusiastic. But it's because we have a real experience with a real God who is really so loving and so kind and so good and so mighty. There's nobody in the whole universe like him. The idea of wonder includes the feeling of amazement, admiration caused by something beautiful. We used to sing a song, Pastor Angela, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Can you say amen? Amen? For the believer in Jesus Christ, the season of Christmas should be the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah. You know that famous song on the radio, the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah. And I'm sure when some people listen to that song on the radio, stuck in traffic or at the mall fighting people to get to the cash register online, so-called Black Friday. I don't know why they call it Black Friday. But all I know is that I hate shopping on Black Friday because the lines are like out the door. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the most wonderful time of the year? It can be for Christians if we guard our hearts and mind. And don't get caught up. Somebody say, don't get caught up in all the extraneous things about the season. The shopping, the cooking, and those things are nice, and we enjoy our traditions. We're a very traditional family. But we understand, as Pastor Angel said, it's not about those things. It's about the one we celebrate. It's the one who had a miracle birth, who was born a baby, who was born to a virgin. Completely supernatural birth. It's so easy to be distracted in our world. Just put the news on for about 10 minutes. Gloria said, no, sir. I can only take 5 minutes at a time. Maybe it's just me, you know, and I like to keep informed about what's going on. But we have in this country a house divided. And the Lord said this in the Gospels. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We have people with brokenness, people with struggling with finances. We have people struggling with fear, people who are traumatized, people with emotional burdens, heavy hearts, unfilled expectations, on and on it goes. It can be a very difficult time for people. But we of all people should understand that God is celebrating the Son that he gave to this earth. The angels had it right. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. The shepherds had it right. This is a day of glad tidings. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, and I'm asking myself, to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. There's a sense of encouragement and faith for the future in the past. When you read certain stories, it gives you encouragement about the future. If God did it in the past, he can do it in the future. Are you tracking with me? What he's done for others, he will do for you. What he's done before, he can do it again. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the Christmas story, because there's so many themes in the Christmas story that are miraculous. So many themes that are answers to prayer. So many things that say your hopes will be responded to, or your hopes will be answered. Your hopes will be met. All my hopes and the dreams of all the years are met in Christ tonight. Amen? Like the song says. God is still a God who's working miracles. There's so many miracles in the Christmas story. So my question to you is, what are you having faith for? What currently in your life are you dreaming, still dreaming about, still hoping for, still believing for? Do you have any godly goals? Do you have any godly dreams? Or have you allowed the Grinch of Christmas to steal them out of your heart? Satan, who is the Grinch. If you were here last week, I want to exhort you. I want to plead with you. I want to plead with you this morning. Don't give up on the goals God has put in your heart. Don't give up on the dreams. The God-inspired hopes and dreams that he puts in your life. Last week, as Pastor Angela mentioned, we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, a couple that was infertile. Now, not only were they infertile, but they were way past the age of bearing children. And God did a miracle. Not only did he answer Zechariah's prayer that he probably gave up on, you might say, Pastor, how do you know Zechariah wasn't still praying to have a child? A good question, right? Because the angel comes and says to him, don't be afraid, your prayer has been answered. And I said to you last week, Zechariah wasn't thinking right there about his son. He was thinking about, well, maybe the Messiah is coming, because that's what every priest in Israel was hoping, that through my prayers and through the petitions, someday God will come to ransom and redeem his people. Are you following me this morning? Yeah. How do I know? Because the angel said to him, you will now be silent and not be able to speak because you did not believe what I said to you, that you would have a son. So he was corrected by the angel. The angel literally said, because you did not believe. So we know he didn't believe because the angel said so. But God answered the prayer anyway. So if you're here today and you've been praying for something for 20 years, and you may have even forgotten about it, God can do more than you even expect, because not only did he bring a John through Zechariah and Elizabeth, who couldn't have children, but he also allowed John to be the forerunner of Jesus, who was the Messiah. So he answered both things at the same time. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're never too old to believe for God-inspired answers, and you're never too young. Samuel was only 12 years old. We have any young people in the house this morning? All right, thank you, Lourdes. I didn't say if you feel young. I mean, who are actually numerically 12 years old. God is often working in far greater ways than we can imagine. You see, Elizabeth and Zechariah might have been praying for a son, but God was looking for a prophet. Your prayer may be one direction, and God's going to answer multiple things through your prayer, more than you can ask or even imagine. Somebody say amen. Amen. Therefore, be open to the broader implications of your prayer life. I want to say that again. That's a good thought to think about, Gloria. Be open to the broader implications of your prayer life. God may be calling you to intercede more than you realize. Maybe you think you're just interceding for your family, but in a sense, you're interceding for a whole country. Because it takes godly family and a godly church and godly communities to change the direction of our country. Your prayers are not in vain. Turn to your neighbor and say, my prayers are not in vain. Hallelujah. Your prayers are not in vain. God honors your prayers. While I'm on the subject, I also want to underscore what Pastor Angela said about Wednesday night. I'm going to encourage you, especially starting this new year. If it's only once a month or twice a month, make it a habit, make it a priority to come and pray for your family. Come and pray for the needs of the church. Pray for our nation. We pray for our community. We pray for our nation on Wednesday night. We pray for current needs, people who are going through crises. So I ask you, every one of you, even if you can come only once a month on a Wednesday, make it a priority. How many of you still love me? Say amen. Amen. Thank you for that kind and unsolicited encouragement. What else would you say, right, at this point? So today I want to talk a little bit about Mary, because from her we learn that young people can be chosen by God to do something amazing to change the world. Most historians and Bible scholars believe and agree that Mary was a teenager. And so was her husband Joseph, probably no more than 19 years old. She was probably maybe 14, 15 years old. And I want to say to you, and I wish we had a whole room full of young people, but I'm going to say it by faith. You're not too young to experience a calling from God that can change the world. I want to say that again. You are not too young to experience a calling from God that can change the world. Joan of Arc was 17 years old when she led the French army to victory. Ever heard of Joan of Arc? She wasn't on Noah's Ark. It had nothing to do with Noah. Joan was not in the ark. She was a 17-year-old young lady who had the courage, when the nation of France was floundering, to go to the king and plead with him that she would lead the army, and she did. She died later on as a martyr. Louis Braille. Who is Louis Braille? The fact that he was blind from 3 years old, does that give you a hint? This young man, blind from the age of 3, invented the Braille system of reading while he was a teenager. Wow. While he was just a teenager. You ever hear of Braille? The blind people read Braille? Think about it. He was just a youngster. Anybody ever hear of Laura Decker? Laura Decker from New Zealand, also Dutch background, broke the world record for sailing solo around the world in a ship, in her own boat, in less than 2 years, broke the world record for sailing, circumnavigating the entire world in less than 2 years. Get this, at the age of 16, alone in that boat for less than about a year and a half, at the age of 16. And then this one really gets me. Jordan Romero climbed to the top of Mount Everest at the age of 13. 13 years old. You're never too young to do something that can shake the world. You're never too young to be influenced by a dream, inspired, given a calling from heaven. Somebody say amen. We need some young people in this world who want to change our world for the good. Hallelujah. And I appreciate, you know, the environmental concerns, and I appreciate those things. That's important. We should take care of our earth. We should take care of our bodies. Health is important. The environment's important. But how about lost people? How about people who are going to hell without any knowledge of God? How many people are dying without any relationship to Jesus Christ? So young or old, what are you believing for? What dream is still waiting to be fulfilled by a wonder-working God? Let's look a little deeper into the life of Mary. Are you with me?
Yes.
Luke chapter 1. 28 to 31, the angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Mary responds, "How will this be?" In verse 34, how will this be? See, it's not like what Zechariah said. How can I be sure this will happen? That's what Zechariah said. But Mary says something very logical. I'm a virgin. I'm not married. How in the world could I have a child? How will this be, she says, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, and I love this, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So that Holy One that is born in you will be called the Son of God. And just as God chose Mary to bear the Savior by the Holy Spirit's power, we too, every one of us who follow Jesus, are chosen by God to have Christ live in us. Just as the Virgin Mary, was the baby Jesus, was planted in her heart, in her life, in her womb by the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit comes upon us. How many of you Christians in the church this morning have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? That opens the door to all kinds of possibilities. Just think about what you could do with Jesus, the Son of God, living inside of you to change the world. You know, when you think about Mary, an unlikely candidate, she wasn't rich, she wasn't famous, she wasn't necessarily married to a priest or a king, she was just married to a carpenter. An ordinary person, probably much poorer than we realize. They couldn't even afford to bring a lamb or, if you look at the study, when they brought their offering for the cleansing and the dedication of the baby, they just brought two turtle doves. They couldn't afford anything more. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And this is a message for every one of us here today. You know, we used to talk about the Spirit-filled life. Some of you who are at the wonderful, sensational age like I am, remember we used to talk about the Spirit-filled life. What would happen if you were totally yielded to the Holy Spirit? What would happen if you gave every corner, all your doubts, all your misgivings, all your future, all your pride, you laid it all down, even your hurts from the past, and say, God, take all of me. I love what Mary said. Mary said to the angel, I am the servant of the Lord. Let what you said happen to me. Imagine if we had that kind of surrender to God. Are you with me this morning? Fresh surrender. I am the servant of the Lord. She didn't argue like Zechariah. Once the angel explained to her how this was possible, she said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And the angel said, okay, that's a good question. And many of you know God's not afraid of your questions. He can handle them. He says, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of God will overshadow you. That which is born in you will be born of the Holy Spirit. Will you call the Son of God? We need to yield every inch of our heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's why we don't see more astounding things happening. That's why we don't see more miracles. That's why we don't see a greater good happening in the world, because we need the church to be Spirit-filled. We need believers to take God at His word, hallelujah, and believe that God, what God did in the past, He will do again if I simply obey and follow Him. Hallelujah. I mean, you look at little David, he was another teenager. And the whole army of Israel, for 40 days and 40 nights, they were terrorized by Goliath. They weren't going anywhere. They were full of fear, these brave soldiers. Here comes David, a little shepherd boy with his little sling. And I love what he says. How can you, when Saul says, how can you go to against this giant? You're a little boy. He says, there was a time that a lion tried to come and steal my sheep. And I took good care of him. I put him out. I wasted him. And then there was a bear. A lion and a bear. I took care of that bear as well. He wasn't going to touch my father's sheep. The same God who helped me take the lion and the bear will also help me take this ugly Philistine. Come on now, somebody say amen. I didn't know if he was ugly or not. I just put that in there. Hallelujah. 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 What could God do with a Spirit-filled person? The reason my wife and I are here today is because we had Spirit-filled ancestors. People in our family who the trajectory, the direction of their lives was changed. It was interrupted by an encounter with God. My grandfather had an encounter with Jesus. My grandmother had an encounter with Jesus. They knew that Jesus was real. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they passed it on. Amen. Generations. And we're trying our best to pass it on to our posterity. Amen. And the angel of the Lord said, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. With God, nothing. I want to encourage your prayer life today. Yes. Keep praying. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep praying. Amen. Don't stop. Don't stop believing. And I love the prophecy, what they call the Magnificat in Latin, I guess. This word, the prophetic song that God gives Mary is still true today. And this is a word of encouragement for you today. Remember when I started, I said what God did in the past, he can use to encourage us in the future. That's why I'm talking about this story with such excitement, because I believe this story is meant to encourage our future. So here's what she says. She visited Elizabeth, her cousin, and the Holy Spirit came upon John in the womb of Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. This is what she says. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy. And he has done great things for me. Is there anybody here where God has done great things for you? Amen. He shows mercy from one generation to the other of those who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty. He has brought down the princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. That's Luke 1, 47 to 50. You could read it later on. This says to me that God took notice of an ordinary, very humble, poor young lady who just had enough faith in her to believe that God could choose you, could choose her. And I hope that you don't ever lose that. And Jesus said, unless you become converted and become like a little child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Salvation is a great equalizer. It makes us realize we all need God. Amen. We all need God. I was listening on the radio yesterday, and they say, why did Jesus come as a baby? Because he made himself so vulnerable that other people had to take care of him, so that we might understand that we are to take care of each other. Wow. We are to take care of each other. And then finally, I want to close with this, the shepherds. From the shepherds, we learn that God blesses humble people. Even despised and marginalized people. And even those people can have a great message from heaven to share. Somebody say, I have a great message from heaven. It doesn't matter what people think about me. It doesn't matter what they've done to me. It doesn't matter how people look down at me. I am not going to be silent. Hallelujah. I am not going to be silent. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout his praises. I'm going to declare the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Jesus is calling on the phone. Amen. And he's saying, listen to the pastor. Listen to the pastor. You got to look at this for a second, brother Seth. I know you'll enjoy this. Others and brother Angel, others love to study the Word. Harry. In Christ's time, the shepherds were considered a lower caste of people. They were considered the bottom rung of the social scale. They shared the same status as would tax collectors and dung sweepers. That's what how people thought of them in those times, in that day. Religious leaders maintained a strict caste system at the expense of the shepherds and other common folk. Shepherds were officially labeled sinners, a technical term for a class of despised people. Dr. Joachim Jeremias, Hebrew scholar, says that shepherds were despised in everyday life. Are you with me? In general, they were considered second class and untrustworthy. Dr. Joachim documents the fact that shepherds were deprived of all civil rights in the time of Christ. They could not fulfill judicial offices or be admitted to a court as a witness. Basically, they had no rights. In Jerusalem, in the time of Jesus, Dr. Jeremiah continues to explain, the rabbis would ask questions among themselves with amazement. In view of the despicable nature of shepherds, how can one explain why God is called my shepherd? Because in Psalm 23 it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And the rabbis, they stumbled over this. Because they would say to themselves, these shepherds, like, they're nothing. They're like trash. That was their attitude. So how could God say, the Lord is my shepherd? So into this terrible social caste system, and with all religious hypocrisy, the religious prejudice, God appears, of all people, you guessed it, the shepherds. The angels decide to announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds. What does that say to us today? You can never be too humble. You can never be too broken. You can never be too despised where God has forgotten about you. Hallelujah. Where God can't use you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is this day born to you in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then you know the rest of the story. The shepherds go out and they tell everybody, after going to Bethlehem to find the baby, they worship the baby there, see the baby, Mary and Joseph. And it says right after that, they hurried to the village. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone. This is in Luke 2, 16 to 18. After seeing him, the shepherds went out and told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherds, remember who they were, these were the lower caste, were astonished and amazed. Christmas is a great time for us to share the testimony of what Christ means to us, whose birthday we celebrate, what he means to us personally. And don't worry about people rejecting you. Don't worry about people looking down at you. Don't worry about whether they will understand you or not. You go out with joy. This is good news. Hallelujah. This is the best news the world could ever hear. That God has come to redeem his people. Hallelujah. That God has considered the lowest and the most humble person is willing to beautify the meek with salvation. God wants to put a robe around us, a robe of authority, a robe of ownership. He wants to put a ring on our finger. And he wants to put new, like the prodigal son's father, who said, quick, get a robe, get a ring, get some sandals. This is my son. He was lost, but now he's found. Hallelujah. This is what God thinks about people, even people that we disagree with. God wants to bring the meek to a place of sitting at the table among the princes of God's people. This is a great time to share the story and the account of what Jesus did. I pray that you will realize this morning that God is still calling people, all kinds of people, ordinary people, marginalized people, separated people, to do something wonderful. Everybody say wonderful. God is still doing some wonderful things. Not always the way we think. Not always when we think, not always how we think, but how many of you know he's working all things for your good? He's working all things for my good. Let's stand together, shall we? I pray this morning and going forward that you will be renewed in the Holy Spirit. God's got some some business he wants to take care of. He's not finished with you yet. He's got some stuff for you to do. Young or old, you're in the midst of a difficult situation. That doesn't stop God. Remember Gideon? Gideon was hiding. He was hiding from the enemy. He was running. He was fearful. Why do you think these angels always say, do not fear? Because people are afraid. But don't let fear stop you. Somebody say amen. Fear could have stopped Laura Decker from going around the earth, the world, solo in that boat at 16 years old. Or Jordan Romero from climbing Mount Everest at 13 years old. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Somebody say it. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. I want to say just two things before I ask Pastor Angela to close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't minimize the idea that God still speaks today. That God is still doing wonderful things. These stories in the Bible are there for a reason, for us to be encouraged. For 2,000 years or more, people have been putting their trust in the Word of God and their trust and faith in the wonderful account of what God has done to inspire them to achievement, to great things, to make the world a better place. God's not done with you yet, somebody. Hallelujah. So this is for somebody. God's not done with you yet. And this is the last thing I want to say. You're going to be the only Jesus that somebody ever meets. I want to say that again. You will be the only Jesus. And what I mean by that is you're representing Christ. You're acting like Him. You're loving Him. You're a Christian, a little Christ. And to somebody who's at a critical point, maybe life and death situation, you will be their chance to meet Jesus. How many of you know that's an awesome responsibility and an amazing truth? Amen. Pastor Angela.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Hallelujah. You know, when you read the genealogy of Christ, too, there are some surprising statistics in it, some surprising people. Rahab was the harlot, prostitute. Ruth, who was not even Jewish. A lot of people, David, who really was a murderer at one point. So I don't know, as you're hearing these miracles that God can do to your life, some of you have had a very troubled life and done some things maybe you're ashamed of, or done some things that you wish you hadn't done, or somebody's done to you. But understand this, that God is real. He is powerful. And even the hurts, even the mistakes, as you yield it, see, Mary's secret was surrender. Surrender. Sometimes we try to make ourselves good enough to be used, or we try to correct the past, or we try to do things on our own. And Jesus said, let the Holy Spirit come on you, and let me make you the vessel that you need to be to give birth to the supernatural. It was supernatural birth, supernatural when the Holy Spirit came upon her. So don't write yourself off, no matter what your past has been. I don't know why I'm saying this today. Just turn to Jesus and humble ourselves like the shepherds were the most humble. They had to be, because they were despised. But Jesus appeared to the shepherds. God chose the shepherds to give that great message to. So God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Just put up your hand. Not to us, not to anyone else, but to Jesus, and say, Lord, I surrender to your purposes for my life. Lord, I want your will for my life. I realize that I may be trying so hard, or I may be trying to correct things, or I might be even fighting against you by trying to do it my way. But I surrender to you today. Lord, I want to say that for Angela Munizzi. I surrender to you today, God. I surrender. I don't understand a lot of things. Maybe I would have chose different, but I know you don't make a mistake, God. You do not make a mistake. The Lord says, I do not make a mistake. So God, we trust you, even with things we don't understand. And we trust you that you are writing history through ours, through us, through surrendered lives, to touch other lives, to make a difference, to change our world, God, for you. Change our homes, change our community. In Jesus' name, bless your people as they go forth, Lord, from the mission field. I pray against any attacks of the enemy. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. I pray for those who have torment in their minds right now. If that's you, I'm not looking. Put your hand on your head and just rebuke the enemy with us. Say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. My mind is the Lord's. This is the Lord's body, the Lord's mind, the Lord's heart. And Lord, I pray for peace for your people. I pray for protection. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them and that they would birth things in the Spirit, that we would birth new visions, new dreams, Lord, as you see fit, because we know you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. And Lord's people said, amen and amen. God bless you as you go into the mission field.
Amen. Don't forget, next Sunday's the children's program. Tell your neighbors, tell your family, bring friends.